or look at Gana Emunah, the Garden of Faith by Rav Shalom Arush. We're looking to the Hebrew version of the book, page 49, talking about Emunah and the power of prayer. In fact, the person can't have Emunah, full, complete Emunah, unless he is also praying to Hashem. What does that mean? We're not talking about the 3 times a day prayer. You need to do that. Everyone needs to do that. So you need to make Kiddush on Friday night. You need to daven 3 times a day. It's a given. We're talking about prayer between personal prayer. The person speaks to Hashem in his own words. It's an intrinsic part of Emunah. If I'm not speaking to Hashem, it means I don't really believe in him. If I believed in Hashem, I would pour out my heart to him. I have what to speak to him. I have troubles in my life. It's a given. Hashem deliberately gives us troubles because in order that we have something to speak about. Right? I have what to talk about. I have Yeshuot that I need. There are things that I need in my life that are lacking. Question is, my test in life, how do I deal with those things that are lacking? Do I try and fix them myself? Do I try and use Derech HaTeva? Go and see a doctor, go and see a lawyer, go and get an extra job, go and speak to my boss about getting a pay rise, whatever the inyan is. How do I deal with the problems in my life? That's a test of our emunah. It's a daily test. How do I deal with life? Do I turn to the one who's really in control? Or do I not try and go to a middleman? I keep a tax who teaches in London, South African rap. He gives an example of what it means to serve a Avodah Zarah. He said, we don't really understand a Avodah Zarah, but he gives an example that helps us understand. He says like this. He says, if there's a store, if someone wants to come and buy something from the store, let's say it sells cameras. He wants to buy a camera in a store. And he goes and has a look in the store, and he sees that the camera is an expensive camera. He doesn't have enough money. Camera is, let's say, $300. He's got, maximum I can spend about $50. What did he do? Goes to the salesman, who's not the owner, he's a salesman. He says, look, camera over there, give it me for 40 and I'll give you 10. He said, that's a Avodah Zarah. How? What's the connection? The connection is that Avodah Zarah works. They weren't dealing with nonsense. They weren't bowing to a piece of wood and then nothing happened and then they all got excited and thought that they just found God. Right? They understood that there were middlemen, that you could get what you want by cutting out, by not going to the boss. Right? And they were, because they understood spirituality, they understood stuff that we don't understand. But why is it a Avodah Zarah? Because it's ignoring the fact that there's a balabait, that there's someone in control, that there's someone in charge. And we are not so dissimilar. We don't have a Avodah Zarah like we had in the old days, but we have our own version. Our own version is called doctors. Our own version is called lawyers. The bank manager. People that we think can help us, that's not Hashem. We use these people. But the essence is to know that the Hashem is in charge. That Hashem is the boss. It's not someone else. It's not in his hands. There's only Hashem. The level to which I see Hashem is my emunah. My emunah is a daily, constant thing. It's not something that's reserved for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. Three times a year, I pull out my emunah. I'm getting on the bus, emunah. I'm getting up in the morning, emunah, if I'm married, 24/7, right? Do we see Hashem? Or do we just see the person in front of us, giving us a hard time? Who am I blaming? I'm blaming the other person? I'm blaming myself? Or I'm attributing it to a random occurrence? Those three options are all anti-emunah. There's only one answer, and it's Hashem. Hashem is doing everything. Once I know that, then the corollary, get that word out, is that I pray. I speak to the boss. I speak to the one who's in charge. He's the one that's giving me the hard time, not my wife. My wife is the mouthpiece. Right? Should all read Gan HaShalom. the wife is merely the mouthpiece of Hashem. If I forget that and I see my wife, and I've missed out, I've missed it. For a start, I don't listen to her. What does she know? I know better, right? I miss the everything that Hashem is trying to tell me, etc., etc. But not only do I miss out on all the good instruction that He's trying to speak to me right now, I make it far worse by criticizing her, having an argument, whatever, by demanding, assuming that I'm right. My gava goes way high. And also, the main thing that I miss out is I miss out on Hashem, my emunah. My emunah doesn't get a look in. So, if I'm going to live my emunah, if I'm going to grow in my emunah, then I have to talk to Hashem all the time. All the time. We have an hour a day to do His body does. 1 hour, full hour. Complete hour of speaking to Hashem, at least being with Hashem. Right, anyone who can't speak for an hour, it's also fine. Just need to fix an hour of time that's dedicated to Hashem. This is yours. If Hashem gives me the words, He gives me the words. Hashem sabatai tiftah. Hashem's the one who's opening my mouth. It's not me. If He doesn't give me the words, He's not going to give me the words. But my job is to give you the time. This is for you. It's not for anyone else. The phone is off. I'm not going anywhere until the hand goes round the clock. I am not moving. And if it's difficult to start with, that's fine. It's Avodat Hashem. No one said Avodat Hashem is easy. But Rabbeinu says it's the highest Avodah Hashem that there is communicating with Hashem. It's having that Hizbodadot. There's no higher Avodah than that. Olem min HaKol, says Torah 25. For the hardest Avodah in the world, it's also the easiest. It doesn't demand anything. So where we're holding in our emunah is revealed by where we're holding in our prayer. If we're praying to Hashem, if we're speaking to Him, if we're pouring out ourselves, then that's an indication to us where we're really holding. If I realise that I'm actually not speaking to Hashem at all, or that if I am, it's pretty surface. Hashem, please give me some good panasa. Hashem, please give me some shalom bayit. Top. I think I'm done. Right? I spoke to Hashem, but I wasn't really pouring out my heart. We didn't go very far. We didn't go very deep. Right? So it's an indication to me that I've got a little bit further to go yet. And this is the way a person fixes himself. Without speaking to Hashem, we can't fix ourselves. All of those me dots that we need to work on, that Hashem deliberately created with lackings. He didn't create us as tzaddikim, deliberately. If He wanted to create us as tzaddikim, He would have created some more angels, and He's got plenty of them. But He doesn't want angels. He wants human beings, ben adam, who are flawed, who have stuff to work on. That's you and me. That's at least me. I don't talk about anyone else. Right? That's me. Right? That's who we created. With lackings. Why? So we've got something to do down here. We're here for 120. Right? You take out the TV. There's free time. There's stuff to do. It's called working on myself. Right? Getting rid of all those nasty midot that aren't very pleasant. But I can't get rid of my nasty midot without prayer. Only through prayer, if I want to stop anger, if I want to stop jealousy, if I want to stop selfishness. I don't have a selfish switch that I can just switch off. You're right, I'm a bit selfish. Good point, I won't do that anymore. Done, finished. Right, that was great. Anything else? It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The only way I can work on myself is through prayer. Asking Hashem to fix it. Hashem created me. He knows the spiritual channels. He created them, right? He's the only one who can fix me. So what does he say? So we read yesterday that Rav Natan explained that whenever a person has a lacking, it's for one of two reasons. Either the person didn't pray enough, or he didn't pray at all. They're the only two options. If a person has a lacking in anything, a lacking spiritually, emotionally, physically, materially, any lackings, only because we didn't pray enough or we didn't pray at all. Continues to explain like this. The explanation of the matter is this. The person that all of his purpose is to know Hashem. We need to know, we mentioned it a couple of times, it's worth repeating. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the reason man is in this world is to know Hashem, to get to know Hashem. That's the reason why we're in this world. We're in this world to get to know Hashem. Right? It can take a lifetime to understand just what that sentence means, to get to know Hashem. Right? But that's what the Zohar says, and that's our purpose. So we should try and at least think about what it means and try and get to grips with it on whatever level we can to understand what that means. Rather than saying, I don't know what that means, forget that, let's carry on eating cheeseburgers, whatever it is, right? We need to at least try and deal with that. What does it mean to get to know Hashem? So one consequence of that is that Chazal say that for a person to see Hashem in the world to come is the amount that he sees in this world. Meaning, if I don't see Hashem in this world at all, I'm a complete atheist, I don't believe in Hashem. So the consequence is that I carry on with that mindset in Shemayim, but in Shemayim there's no sports, so there's nothing else to do, right? There's only Hashem. So if I didn't see Hashem in this world, then the world to come is pretty empty. Whereas if I see Hashem in this world, that's why from the passage it says, Zelo, Zer a keli ve'anvegu, right? And the Rashi, I think, one of the commentators says that the Sadikim point Hashem and say Zer keli ve'anvegu. This is the Hashem. Why? Because they saw him in the world, in this world, and they say this is the Hashem that I saw. Right? So one understanding of that is that the more we see Hashem in this world, that builds our world to come. The more I can see and understand Hashem, then I have what to take with me into the next world. It's a pure consequence. It's not a punishment, right? That's why one of the definitions of Gehinnom or Shemayim is the same thing. The Gehinnom and Shemayim is simply that person takes who he is into the next world. If I'm a terrible person with really bad midot, and I go into the next world, so that's hell. I can't fix it. I'm stuck. I'm stuck with myself for eternity, which is a pretty long time, right? And it's not fun. I don't like myself very much. I'm not a nice person, right? But if I worked on myself, and I'm actually a pretty nice person, I like my own company, right? So then, Shemayim, it's heaven, right? A person can enjoy the fact that he is who he is, and he's worked on himself. Right? And it's not no punishment, it's just who you are. You are who you are. But here, we can hide ourselves. Here, when we don't do something very nice, so tough, take my mind off it, have a beer, have a Coke, or a chocolate, coffee, whatever it is, takes my eyes off it. Right, yalla, onwards. But there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide. So it's a good idea to try and work on ourselves. But how am I going to do that? Only through prayer. Right, prayer is going to achieve both things. You get two for the price of one. You get to fix the bits you need to fix, and you get to see Hashem at the same time. Because how do we have a relationship? You can't have a relationship with your wife if you don't speak to her, right? I know my wife exists, and I could give you nice lectures all about her. Right? Have I spoke to her? Not really. Or when I do, it's very formal. Well, I say the same thing three times a day. Right, can I have my dinner, please? Right, whatever it is. Right? But it's not really a relationship. If you want to have a relationship with someone, you want to speak to them. And not only do you have to speak to them, the deeper your relationship is what you tell them. How was your day today? Yeah, fine. What'd you do? Yeah, it was okay. Right? So it's not so deep. If you're pouring out your heart, I feel terrible. Oh, I just want to die. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, right? Whatever's going on. So fine, it's a bit of a deeper relationship going on there. Right? On everything. I'm explaining, Hashem is all eyes and all ears and all knowing, and he knows what's going on. I don't have to be embarrassed to tell him, I looked at that woman, I looked at this one, right? Everything, but like he didn't know. It's not a chiddush. Really? You looked at that woman? I didn't notice. No, he knew. He was there. He knew. Right? Everything. I don't like my mother. I don't like my kids. He knows. Who am I trying to hide? For myself, pretend that everything's great. That no. Children don't like their parents, and sometimes they don't like their kids or their spouse. I'm upset with my wife. She just really annoyed me today, Hashem. Right? It's true. It's happened. If I want a relationship with Hashem, if I want to see him, and I want his help to fix it, I need to ask. Right? Hashem is waiting for me to ask. Ask for help. Right? Why? Because it gets rid of my gava. Right? We said this before as well, but Tov, all the good things should be said many, many times. Man doesn't like to ask for help. Refuses to ask for directions. He could be the most lost in the world. I have no clue where I am. Right? But he refuses to ask anyone for help. Why? Tov, we've got an inbuilt Yetzirah Hashem gave us. Right? That's gava. That's an ego that we need to get rid of. We need to mamash practice. Whenever you're going on a journey, and you know exactly where you are, exactly where you need to get to, stop, wind the window down, and ask someone for help. We need to try and break the madness, right? And if we can't ask the guy in the street for help on directions, which is not such a, that's a big thing, to know where to get to Tel Aviv from here, right? Or is this? It's not asking a big thing. Or more so, the real problems that we have inside. I'm angry, I'm jealous, I'm holding grudges against people. All the not nice stuff, all the more so we need to ask. And we're afraid to ask. We're afraid to ask. We need to break that. Right? That gives us our humility. Gives us humility. All of these things only come through prayer. Without an hour of his body to today, a person can't fix themselves. Rabbi Arash says specifically in his books that you can't be a kosher Jew. He says you can't be a kosher Jew. His words, not mine. If you don't understand it or you don't agree with it, take it up with him. He says you can't be a kosher Jew without an hour of his body to today. The person can't fix themselves. He's a Jew and he's keeping Torah, but he's not. But with all the nonsense going on under the surface. Certainly can't hope to deal with the biggest issue, which is to guard our eyes and the Tavat and Niyuf, right? Which for sure can't be dealt with in any other way. Absolutely no way that can be dealt with, that Yetzirah. And the Ari said that's why we came down here to fix. That's our main fixing, is to fix Tavat Niyuf. It's the hardest thing in the world to fix. For sure a person can't fix that just by being strong and that's it, not looking at any women anymore. It's not going to happen. It's ridiculous. Can't happen without prayer. And the Gemara says specifically that if Hashem doesn't help you, you can't overcome Yetzirah. Gemara says, can't overcome your Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is stronger. You need Hashem to overcome it. Dafka, because Hashem wants you to turn to him. I'm going to give you a chiddush that I think is a chiddush. I like that I thought about the other day. The Gemara says like this, Gemara Sanhedrin says, there's a discussion between two Tanaim. One says at the end of days, Am Yisrael will do teshuva. At the end of days, Am Yisrael is destined to do teshuva. And the other one says to him, but maybe they won't. Right, free choice. Who says they're going to do teshuva? So then the first one says, you're right. But if they choose not to, Hashem will place upon them a king that's worse than Haman. And then they'll do teshuva. Tov, that's what it says. That's the sugya in Sanhedrin. So I was thinking about that sugya. And it occurred to me, it's not right. There's a problem with this. What's the problem? The problem is, who's a king worse than Haman? We've had it already. Hitler, Yimach Shemo, right? Said he was going to kill us all, and I went about doing it. We didn't really see a lot of Balei Teshuva. Ahmadinejad, Yimach Shemo, also said that he was going to drop a bomb on us. Same thing. I didn't see many people rushing to do Teshuva as a result. And I still can't see it. So it doesn't make sense to me from the Pshat, the Pasuk, that that's really going to bring anyone to do Teshuva. So, here's my chiddush. I like it, that's why I'm sharing it with you. I've got to share with someone. I tried it, my wife, she likes it. So my chiddush is this. So who's this king? Who's this king that's going to be worse than Haman? So Mishlei say in the Mishlei it says that the old foolish king is who? Is the Yetzer Hara. Rabbeinu brings it in the Ketanei Moran. The old foolish king is the Yetzer Hara. So my pshat is this, that Hashem says, at the end of days, people are going to teshuva. Why? Because I'm going to bring a king on them that is just worse than Haman, and they'll do teshuva. Who's that king? That's the Yetzer Hara. When my Yetzer Hara gets so bad for me, I just can't handle him anymore. It's going to turn me, push me back to Hashem. There's nowhere else to go. And that's where we are now. Our Yetzer Haras are running wild. Right? Particularly Tavat Niuf. Right? Rabbeinu writes specifically that Tavat Niuf makes a person go sugar. Makes a person go crazy. Right? And plus all our other difficult traits that we have to deal with. Yetzer Hara. And a person can't overcome them unless he turns to Hashem. It's the only way to overcome the Yetzer Hara. When a person's had enough, he has to turn to Hashem. Because he knows there's no other way. There's no other way out. Right? Sometimes a person has to hit rock bottom to find that. To get there, that drink, drugs, whatever it is. Right? The person gets to a place and he's no more. That's it. Can't do this anymore. And he turns back to Hashem. And that's, we don't need to wait for that. Hashem is there waiting for us. The person who does it now, he's got it every day. He speaks to Hashem every day. Doesn't need to be forced. Put his back in the corner. That's a good analogy. Right, put back to the corner. Right? Doesn't need to be in a situation like that. I'm speaking to Hashem. I'm telling you I've got problems. I'm asking you to fix them. That's the way. That's the way. So he says, "Kol tefila shehu mitpalel poelet pulata." V'zehu chok ruchani. Every single prayer that we make does something, and this is a spiritual law. Every single prayer is effective. There's no such thing as a prayer that's not effective. In this world, we see things that aren't effective. So, if you want your kid to tidy their room, you ask your kid, "Go tidy your room." Saying, "No, I don't want to do it." So, tough. I tried and it didn't work. We see that sometimes, right, things aren't effective. It's not the same with prayer. Every single prayer does something. Whether you see it or not. Instead of asking your kid to tidy the room, you go and pray and say, "Hashem, please get my kid to tidy his room. Please make him want to tidy the room." It's a lot more effective. Just need enough prayer. It's a lot more effective. To get him to tidy the room himself, because he wants to. How does prayer work? Prayer works like this. Rabbeinu explains in Likutei Moran. When a person prays, it's very, everything in the physical world, it has its mirror in the spiritual world. Right? Vice versa. Right? From the, it was originally in the spiritual world, and Hashem gave us the physical tools that we can understand. So prayer, the mirror of that is speech. How does speech work? Speech works that a voice of a sound leaves my mouth, and enters the world, and it hits the air. And that air hits some more air and causes a wave. Who writes all this in? Look at him around. He wasn't even a scientist. But. And it hits the air, right? And then it hits your ear. And when it hits your ear, it reverberates in the ear and then it makes a sound and top. He says the same thing with prayer. He says when prayer leaves a person, it creates an angel. He doesn't use the word angel, they use a different word. But call it an angel, because that comes out and goes out into the world. And not
spiritual force,
maybe. Yeah, I can't remember the exact word, the exact word you use, but it was an angel. But it means that type of thing. It creates a spiritual reality, just like sound creates a physical reality of sound waves. So too, there's a spirituality created by the words of prayer, and that exists. That you've created it. You can't not create it. Just like you can't not create sound when you speak.
So, like a messenger or a employee.
Yeah, you create.
That's doing your will.
Right, shaliach. Maybe maybe use shaliach. I don't know what word you use, but I just remember the time. It wasn't angel, but it could. And that goes out into the world. And just like, but what's the difference? The difference is when we use speech, speech is subject to the individual's free choice. And I tell my daughter, you know what, I think you should really clean your room. And the words hit her ear, hit her brain, go, Abba wants me to clean my room. I don't want to clean my room. Abba doesn't know what he's talking about, my room's fine. Right? All that, right? And then she says, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Or if she's upset with me, then Dad cannot. He wants me to clean my room. I'm not cleaning it. I'm not being controlled. Like I'm a grown 13-year-old, then, right? I've got to show who. So Dad cannot. Even if it was a really messy, and he's 100% right, but I'm definitely not doing it now. However, how does prayer work? Prayer works the same. When it comes out of my prayer, it goes into the world and it comes into the person. Bypassing the ear, goes straight into the neshama. As what? As an eyeball. Maybe I should clean my room. You know what? Yeah. Looks like I should clean my room. And therefore has much more impact. Because no longer arguing with someone, someone's telling me what to do. It's now my idea from within myself. And now I can choose free will where, you know what, it's a good idea. I think my room needs tidying. And you can wake up a person up to do teshuva as well, for sure. I remember lots of comments by Rabbeinu about praying on people to do teshuva that wakes them up because it comes from inside them. You know what? Maybe I'll try out that Shabbos thing. Why not? Sounds fun. But if I tell you to do Shabbos, forget it. I'm not going to do that nonsense that you want to try and tell me to fight. Fighting, there's reasons to. But if it's coming from inside the person, prayer can do that. Prayer just goes straight in. And every prayer does something. Every prayer does something. Our prayers are never lost. And they're very, very powerful. And they're not limited by space or by time or by anything. There's also an idea that if it's not used for this, it'd be used for something else. It's not used not for now, for later. A person who's praying on kids and doesn't have kids. Maybe he's not going to have kids. What happened to all his prayers? All his prayers are doing amazing things. Either for other people or for his children or grandchildren. They're every single prayer. Is every single word. It creates a reality. There's an angel, calling it an angel, that is created from that prayer that goes and has to do something. Doesn't hang around twiddling its thumbs, thinking, well, you know what, I don't know why I was created. Let's go drink some beer. It has to do something. It does do something. Power of prayer is something that we know is hidden from us. But it says in Brachot, Dafav, the top of the world, Rashi says. What's the thing that's the highest things in the world that people ignore? Rashi says, prayer. That's what it means. It means prayer. One of the highest things in the world, and we ignore it. And it's essential to our Emunah. We want to have Emunah, we need to have prayer. The two things come together. It's something that we need to work on every single day. We're not going to get it given as a free gift from scratch. But you know what? Oh, I heard about prayer today. I'm going to start praying, and I turn out to be a baby. Maybe I'm going to be a praying genius from day one. But if not, something that I'm going to work on. When I started to do his Bodhidut 8 years ago, 9 years ago, right? I couldn't do an hour a day. I was doing 10 minutes every day or two. To start with, 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes every day or two. Maybe I'd do half an hour occasionally. It took me 4 or 5 years before I started doing an hour a day. Oh, Hashem, I do. I mean, it's a huge thing.
Are thoughts considered prayers?
No, we have to put it into words. Hashem, we learn from Hashem. Hashem says specifically that we have to put it into words. Hashem spoke the world into being. The words are what affect this creation, not thoughts. Thoughts are good. Every good thought is also valuable. But it doesn't have the same power as prayer. Prayer and words are what create. They create vessels. Every word creates a vessel that does great things in the world. Bezrat Hashem, we should all merit to excellent prayer. Amen.